Could you provide some background information on the new record, Dominion, like the songwriting process and going into the album, what the band wanted to do, that type of thing?
Well, sure. This album, we obviously it was quite a bit of time between Seasons of Tragedy and this one. We had some lineup changes, and you know, I don't want to say we took a different direction, because we really didn't. We just were building on the foundation of writing with new members that had different influences. So that's basically how that process went. It wasn't like the other two. We had more of an arsenal of material, and this time we worked a little harder at coming up with stuff that I felt really comfortable with, and it took a little bit longer, but there you have it.
Okay. How did the band's deal come about with Frontiers?
Actually, through a dear friend of mine from your neck of the woods, from Wales, and his name is Jeff Collins, and I had asked him if he had any contact with some labels that had a good reputation, and that we were looking for, you know, something new, obviously, and he put me in touch with the people at Frontiers, and it kind of just grew from there.
Oh, that sounds quite nice.
Yeah, it was. Smooth. Took a while, but it happened.
You mentioned about how there's been a change of members. Why did Jesse and Paul depart then?
Okay, Jesse had some, you know, family problems, had some illness in his family, so he had to take care of that. And with Paul, I mean, I'm still in touch with him all the time. He is great. He ended up moving to Las Vegas for a while, and it just didn't work out to keep the practicing schedule going, and he got a new job and had to move. So just kind of those life changes, no big drama or anything like that.
Okay, and how did the band find Chris and Mikey then?
Actually, through friends of friends, Pete had heard Chris before, because Chris and Paul had worked together at one time, and then Chris had worked with Mikey, so it all kind of worked out real well. One person kind of led to the other.
How was that, the change of members possibly affected the song, the rhythm section on the record compared to previous records?
I think, you know, because I love Paul's work as well, I think with Mikey and the combination of Mikey and Chris, it's definitely a lot, I'd say more, what's the word I'm looking for, explosive. And it's really it was a little bit of a challenge at first writing with Mikey and stuff because of where he comes from, and he's just got such an aggressive style, but it's really great, and it's made me learn a lot as well. So it worked out really well. The only logistics is, you know, half of us are in Phoenix, half of us are in San Diego, but we make it work.
Okay. Why did the band decide to work with Ryan Green?
Well, a couple of different reasons. We thought, well, we have kind of a new lineup that maybe it'd be time also for to try something a little different. He lived here in the Stockdale, as he used to, and the people we were working with at the time had recommended him. Also, I had, of course, talked to Jeff Pilson because he's like a member of the family, and he just had so many obligations as well with his, you know, with being with Foreigner and their touring schedule. So it worked out well that Ryan was able to take us on.
How did it differ compared to working with Jeff then?
It was, in some ways it was exactly the same, because I made a point to go meet Ryan personally before we got started, because I want to make sure that we clicked on a certain level other than just the music. And after having met him and spent some time with him, it was obvious that this was going to work out well. Ryan has a different approach, so it took a little while to get used to. He's very, very straightforward, tells you if something's not working out, but he is open to suggestions and stuff. I think he had a very clear vision of where he wanted to take Benedictum, so we had to kind of make sure we were seeing eye to eye on that, but he definitely brought a fresh and a little different perspective to things, and he was great to work with. All of us really stepped up our game working with him.
Where did he want to take Benedictum then, would you say?
I think he wanted to really go with a lot more of a modern sound, and that's fine, because I think a band should always grow and evolve. But I didn't want, you know, I wanted to make sure we still kept the integrity of that which is Benedictum. So that's the kind of like halfway point we had to come to. And it worked out really well. I, you know, when I hear it now, it's definitely, you can tell it's Benedictum, but I think it also has a little different feel to it. It's a lot more aggressive.
How would you compare the record then to past records?
I don't know that I compare them at all. I just, it's a product of the evolution. Also, you have to look at, we had different producer, different rhythm section, so all these things put together, that's what we came up with, you know, and I think it's just a natural thing. I don't know what the next one's going to sound like, you know, it's just the way that it evolved.
Would you say then this is the strongest one of the three?
I think that just depends on one's perspective. I think everybody has a little different opinion on it. It's the newest one. Whether it's the strongest, I really like it. I like where it's going. But, you know, I have my favorites on both of the other albums as well. So I guess that's for other people to decide.
Well, I mean, it's from your perspective then.
From my perspective, I think it's a mixture. I think that some of the songs on there, I think, are stronger. But there's some what I call Benedictum classics, too. So I have mixed emotions about it.
Okay, that's fair enough, then.
I think it's fair.
You mentioned, like, Jeff, like, being, like, sick, is it, like, sick, like the extra member of the band? Like, how does he help the band out then behind the scenes, possibly?
He is extremely musical all the way around. So, in working with him, there's just a chemistry that we have as far as creating certain songs, or I'll bring something and he'll go, oh, you might want to try this. And so, that's, a lot of that was going on with the first two albums, and he's just a joy to work with. And Ryan is very driven and also made us look at things, and he's a drummer himself as well. So he's musical too, but comes from a different angle. I mean, they're two different people. So working with them both, I made sure I did have a chance to work with Jeff on the acoustic song when he had some time, so that's on Sanctuary, the bonus track. And it's a different style of approach, but it all, you know, comes out really well. I think the boys really, especially the rhythm section, Ryan being a drummer, really, that was a real treat for them, and they learned a lot, too. So it was, and I think Pete had a chance to discover a few other things with his own craft as well. And with Jeff, he brings out a lot of stuff with me that I may not normally do, like a softer side sometimes. So that's kind of cool to have people draw different aspects of yourself.
Was there a certain approach you had with the vocals this time around at all? Certain places you wanted to go?
Yeah, nothing that was actually thought out. I think it was just a reflection of where I was at the time. And that was a little bit frustrated, a little bit, you know, really wanting to get out there. It had been a while since we had done anything. So I think I had a lot of built-up stuff. So I just wanted to just really bring it with as much power as I could. And then also show some other aspects.
Okay, what sort of other aspects would they be then?
Well, just other aspects of my voice. Like if you listen to Loud Silence or if you listen to the acoustic track, there's other things, or the beginning of Dark Heart. I just do some different things with my voice.
Okay.
And just, you know, the aggressive all the time. What do you think of the album?
Yeah, it's good. Very good. Yeah. With, like, obviously, like, anybody who knows a band knows the band are big fans of Ronnie James Dio. Is there anything on the record that, I don't know, was inspired by, like, his passion or anything like that? They might not be. I just wonder, to be honest.
Not in specific. I mean, I think all of us, I'll speak for myself, all of my work really reflects a huge influence by Ronnie James Dio. So it's not like I felt that the need to do something different upon his passing. And because he's already been such a part of my life, so and so many people that I know, musicians and non-musicians, he's affected them in one way or another through his music. And so I think that I guess everything we do is kind of like a testimony to that all the power and the great energy that he brought to this music.
How did you feel then when you heard about, when you heard the news, so to speak?
I didn't think it was true. Honestly, when I heard and someone gave me a phone call and I heard about it, I didn't believe it. And then when I started getting more information about it, I was just floored because, you know, I had talked to Craig previously, and I know that everything seemed like it was, you know, doing better. And then all of a sudden, such a drastic turn was rather surprising and devastating.
Yeah, definitely. You seemed a very dignified person. I don't know. That's what you came across to me anyway.
He is.
Yeah, also his guest appearances on the record, did Rudy Sarzo, was he like through Craig or something, or?
Actually, it was through a friend of mine named Fraser from a band called Metal Knights, and he was able to put me in touch with Rudy, and of course Craig was able to step up too, and go to Jeff, and it was just a lot of fun having everybody be able to be a part of it.
What song does he play on then?
I'm sorry?
What song does he play on?
Ooh, Rudy?
Yeah.
You don't know?
No, it doesn't say. It doesn't... It's nothing like I can't tell, no. I can't tell what... You know, it's just...
He plays on the song, bang.
Okay. No, it doesn't... I checked the notes and I don't say. I was wondering. So...
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask as well, which songs Craig and Jeff play on, to be honest.
Craig is on Epsilon, he's the second solo on Epsilon, and Jeff is doing the duet with me on the bonus track, Sanctuary.
Okay, what was it like to work with Rudy, anyway?
Well, I didn't get a chance to actually work with him, you know, like in the studio, so I had a chance to talk to him. That's the magic of technology now. With Craig, that was different. He came out here and actually stayed with us, which was good to get to see him again. With Rudy, we sent him over the files, and I talked to him on the phone, and he liked what we were doing and agreed to do it, so that really made me feel great, and he was very gracious. I know how busy his schedule is, so that was really cool he was able to do that. And with Jeff, I had a chance to go out to his studio and actually work with him and see him again, too, so that worked out really well.
Is Craig a cool bloke then, yeah?
Oh, he's wonderful. He's one of my dearest friends. And although, you know, it's one of those friendships where you don't always get a chance to see each other as often as you like, that he never seemed to miss a beat. So I'm really proud of him and love him very much. And he's always been there for me.
Okay, that's cool. What about the lyrics on this record, then? Are there any specific topics you're talking about?
I guess that... Just like with the lyrics, whenever I write lyrics, they're a reflection of some aspect of my life or myself, usually, something I'm going through, either physically, spiritually, or emotionally, and I think a lot of the theme of this album was a lot of pent-up anger or frustration, but, you know, the will to just keep on going. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was definitely, especially in these times, you know, I know something with the recession and...
Exactly, and it is hard, and you get, you know, I have my own business, and, you know, it's difficult sometimes, and you see a lot of people. I'm very, very grateful, because there's a lot of people that aren't doing so well, so I'm grateful. It gets a little tough sometimes, but I'm really grateful for what I have.
Can I be nosy and ask what business you're in?
Absolutely. I have a motorcycle business. We sell motorcycle accessories. And we ship international and stuff, but it's called Street Fighters, Inc. And www.streetfightersinc.com. And also Alien Helmets. We sell motorcycle helmets, too. And that's what I've been doing for the past few years, importing most of the stuff from Germany and some of the stuff from the UK. And trying to bring the fighter scene, you know, out here to the U.S. as well.
How do you juggle the two, then? Your musical career... your businesses?
It's difficult. However, it's like a hurry up and wait thing. There'll usually be like a flurry of things that need to get done for the band, and that kind of like throws everything into a turmoil, and then, you know, it's back to business. But with a home-based business and a business that you have to run on your own. It's not like we have a store, and so there's no one to cover. So you just have to make it work. And, you know, you come back and you have stuff piled up, and but you make it work. And it does allow me a lot of flexibility as well. So when things need to get done or I need to go somewhere. So it's a double-edged sword.
Would I be correct in possibly assuming that it's the business that pays like your financial bills and like the music is, you know, although it's good, it's more of a, it doesn't pay the bills so much?
You would be extremely correct. I would love for that to be different, but all of us are doing it more for the passion and love of the music. Of course we would love to be financially viable, but yeah, you're absolutely right. My business is the one that's paying the bills at this time.
Okay, I didn't want to upset you or anything.
No, I mean, that's just, it's rough out there, so I don't want anyone getting the wrong idea. It's hard, and the music industry was hit hard as well, so, yeah, you're right.
Does that hamper the band's potential to tour Europe and other places outside of North America?
I think it's been hampering a lot of bands' potential to do a lot of things. Definitely, the cost of getting a band from the U.S. to Europe is sometimes prohibitive, and, you know, in a rough economy, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. You'll see a lot of clubs out here doing the pay-to-play thing, and it's difficult getting the numbers in, so we're hoping that, you know, we can shift that paradigm and change things with this album and get out and support it.
Where would you, in terms of, like, the music industry, would you say the thing is, where is that, is live shows or CDs? Because some people reckon that it's the live shows now that...
It is. It's basically what you're seeing a shift from is you'll see the CDs, but a lot of people are making their money either on live shows, but mostly on merchandise. That's the only way to feed that, you know what I mean? It's the thing that's going to actually bring some income in because CD sales are not what they used to.
Would you say it's illegal downloading then, or not, or?
I mean, that's kind of, the music industry has changed. It changed a little while ago, and it will never go back to being what it was. It may morph into something else. Who knows where it's going to go, but it's at that stage of flux where it's changed from, you know, okay, there's the illegal downloading, and there's the legal downloading, and so now there's venues of income through legal downloading, but it's hard to stop the people from doing the illegal stuff. It has changed things drastically. So, you know, I think it has a lot to do with if I purchase something, that's still a sale. So it doesn't matter the vehicle which I purchase it. But if I'm taking something illegally, then that's a different scenario altogether.
Would you say there's possibly people taking music illegally but then coming to the show as well?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've had some people email me, and I appreciate their honesty. They said, you know what, I illegally downloaded your album, but I absolutely love it. Can I buy a t-shirt? So, you know, there's a bright side to everything. You got to make the most of it. So a lot of people, there's a lot of music out there now that's getting heard that wouldn't have gotten heard before. That's the upside.
Yeah. I know it's 2 years since it came out, but it's a really great song I think you sang on, by Gravedigger, which for me is the best song on that record. How did that come about then?
Well, I've known Chris Boltenthal for a very long time. He's the one that, you know, he was working with Locomotive when we first got signed, so he and I had a working relationship for quite some time, and I was really honored when he sent me an email, you want to do a duet? And I was like, thought he was joking, and he said, yeah, so, and the rest is history. So I really had a good time with that.
Okay, because there's definitely a rapport between you and Chris in the song, I would say.
Yeah, I'm glad you noticed that. And, you know, he's very responsible for a lot of the things that's happened with Benedictum. So it was very much an honor to be on anything with a band that's had that kind of longevity and that many albums under their belt and was really cool.
Well, it's a very different song for that album as well, I would say. In a good
way. Yeah, I was surprised. I thought it was going to be, when he was sending me the track, I was assuming it was going to be something more, you know, heavier and harder, but I'm very glad that it is, that song was the way it was, that it had a little different vibe to it, which was really cool.
What sort of, like, I know it's a bit of a generic question, but what sort of, what vocalists influenced you then?
I'm sorry, what was that?
What vocalists influence you?
Well, obviously Ronnie James Dio, but also like Tina Turner. I have a very eclectic taste in music. So I like everything from, you know, Rob Halford and all the metal stuff, but I also like big band music and I like to listen to a lot of different things because I draw different energy from it to kind of keep things kind of fresh in your head, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Are there any, like, female metal influences? Like, I don't know, like Dora or someone like that? I don't know.
Well, of course. I mean, it's all in there. And then, you know, Leather Leone, she was out doing that kind of stuff for a long time, and I had the pleasure of speaking with her, you know, from Chastain. And I think she's going to be doing a little comeback thing here, so that's pretty cool. And there's a lot, I mean, even Pat Benatar, and there's so many strong voices out there, like Melissa Etheridge, and, gosh, I can't think of her name right now. Shame on me. But there's so much good music out there that I would say, you know, it's a product of all kinds of influences. There wasn't just one. I'd say the main one, obviously, would be Dio for me. Because when I heard his voice the first time, it was like, oh, I want to do this. And I think that was a driving force for me. And then I kind of branched out and listened to other things, and that was how I developed.
What is your view on how women are portrayed within metal, then? In the media, I mean, at least.
I don't know, what's your view on it?
Women are deemed put across sex objects, I would say. Women are put across as sex objects in the media, and that's what...
Yeah, I mean, that's all kinds of media, though.
Yeah, it's all...
I mean, you know, it's just always been that way. I don't say that it's good or it's bad. It is what it is. But as far as women in rock and metal, I mean, there were times when that was much more of a novelty than it is now. So, you look at it, there's so many female-fronted bands. There's so many bands, you know, quite a few... You know, each with their own style and with their own thing to bring to the table. And you were talking about, you mentioned Doro earlier. I think I learned more about performing by watching her, that as far as the physical aspect of it, how to take care of yourself, how to get out there and really pour yourself out into the audience. You know, she's just, and she's beautiful and she's all those things. You know, the media is going to do what it's going to do. So as long as you can bring it, it's all good.
Would you say that your type of female vocals are less common within metal? Because a lot of the stuff I hear is all operatic and more sort of...
I know. I feel stuff. Like I was just thinking about that earlier today. And I kind of have to chuckle to myself because, yeah, I feel sometimes like I don't quite fit... Look, I have this little spot, like, in the middle somewhere. I don't... the opera thing, that's not my style. It's all good, but that's just not me. And I don't do the complete growling thing either. I just try to bring that power and aggression that I have, and my voice is my voice, so you know what I mean? Deal with it.
Yeah, but with your vocals, like, you can hear your music and say, yeah, you can tell she likes rock music, whereas some of the other vocalists sound like they're pop singers singing over a metal track.
Right. I don't disagree with you in some cases, and it is what it is, but like I say, everybody's got something cool to bring to the table. So I just do what I do, and Benedictum does what Benedictum does, and I hope that we get a chance to keep on doing it and growing and seeing how everything all works out. Kind of interesting to see how a song starts out and then how it ends up. You know, I have some of the old practice stuff. Wow, that turned out to be this song. So it's interesting, the developmental process of everything.
How did the band originally come together then?
Well, Pete and I have been jamming together for quite some time, and we were in another band in San Diego and decided, you know, we want to try one more shot at really putting, like, a little demo together and seeing what would happen out of it. Like, one last... Let's do this one more time. And Craig Goldie had always said that if there was that if there was something that I came up with that he really felt he could get behind, I mean, he'd always been very encouraging, but it just never was the right formula. And so finally, when he heard the practice tapes that I had, he was like, okay, this is the one. So then he put us in touch with Jeff Pilson, and it kind of went from there. Jeff took us on, did our 3-song demo. We shopped it, had a deal with Locomotive. Jeff ended up doing the first 2 albums, and so on and so on.
Why did the band then decide that Locomotive, as opposed to, say, re-signing with Locomotive, signing with Frontiers was a better idea?
Locomotive doesn't really exist anymore. So,
okay.
That wasn't really, I mean, that was something that we knew something was happening for a while there after Seasons of Tragedy was released. So that's part of the reason why there was such a lapse between the albums, because all of a sudden I didn't hear from them. So.
Okay.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
So that's probably where part of the frustration comes from then.
Absolutely.
Was there this, was the band stuck in, legal limbo or something then?
Thankfully, no. We were one of the fortunate ones, because we had the 2-album contract, and we were offered at the time another one, but decided to wait to see what else was going on, and then realized that that didn't make any sense, because all of a sudden it just didn't exist anymore. So we were very fortunate to be at a point where we could move on.
What are your thoughts on the debut and creation, looking back?
I think on the album itself.
Yeah,
I look back on it very fondly, because every moment of that was very exciting, because it was our first real album that we had ever done. So all of that was so new, and the songwriting process was new, and everything, it was pretty raw and new, and one of those experiences you don't ever forget. And then you go on to the next one, and you're all stressed out because of the first one. So, and you think, okay, well, then the third one, well, you got to be, there's always that stress factor there.
How did it come about that the band would do 2 Dio songs on there? Well, Dio-related, rather.
Yeah, that was not the intent. What we were told was we already knew that we were going to do Heaven and Hell. That was going to be part of the album. And then we were told that we had to do a bonus track in the last minute. And so it was a matter of time and money. And so we hadn't planned on having that song on there. And we're told it was only going to be on there for a limited release. But as you see, it didn't work out that way. So that's why there was 2. There was only supposed to be 1.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Set the record straight.
All right. Because even though the band likes Dio, it seems a bit...
Oh, love Dio. I mean, it was great. We had Jimmy Bain play on the Mob Rules. I mean, it doesn't get better than that. It was a real blast. But it was not planned for that to be part of the album. As far as the regular lineup of songs, it was just going to be a special edition. But it's fine. I mean, it is what it is.
Seems the band knows all the Dio players.
It just happens to work out that way, and I think it's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it seems as though, shame Ronnie passed, because it could have been that maybe you would have duetted with Ronnie or something, you know?
That was my plan. It was always my dream, hon. It really was.
Okay.
Shame won't come true.
Okay, what are your thoughts looking back on the second record then, Seasons of Tragedy?
Well, that was also, like I said, it was a little bit stressful, because when the first one got good reviews, and then you feel like, okay, and then they took the option for a second album, and it's like, well, what do you do next? But I think for that one, we had learned a lot from the first album about how we wanted to approach things, and in particular the songwriting. So it wasn't as, whereas with Uncreation, we had a reserve of music that we had, and we brought it to Jeff, and he would listen to it, and a lot of that stuff got hacked apart, 2 songs became 1, and all that stuff. So that was a little more shocking, because I had never had that particular scenario happen before. So I was a lot more prepared for it. Plus, I learned the way he puts a song together. So so when we came with Seasons of Tragedy, I think it was more of, okay, what we brought to him was more complete, put it that way, and just got a little bit more embellishment. And the same thing when we worked with Ryan. By the time we got the stuff to him, it took a little longer to get everything going, but we kind of knew where we wanted it, how we wanted the songs to be formatted.
What do you feel the future holds then for Benedictum?
That I do not know. I know what I'd like to see. I'd like to see us touring. I'd like to see us, you know, reach a lot of fans, a lot of people to listen to us, and because we enjoy playing live and stuff too. So I hope some touring is coming up, and I hope people enjoy our music as much as we enjoy making it.
Is the deal with From Tears and this, the strength of this record, making that more possibility then? Is the band getting more press and more coverage and all that type of thing?
I think so. I mean, so far, so good. It just got released, what, on the 18th of February, and it's going to be released next week here in the U.S., so let's see how it all pans out.
Yeah, definitely. Let's hope people respond to great music, I reckon, anyway.